I'm really, really proud of this football team, this coaching staff, this organization.
These guys have no quit. They bounce back.
10-5, touchdown!
We set a foundation from day one that we are going to stick with the process.
Got it! 73-yard pass play!
We've got the very best fans in the National Football League.
And the Colts are going to win the ball game.
Welcome to Colts Monday Night with head coach Chuck Pagano. Presented each week by Citizens Energy Group. Now live from the Taco Bell studio, here's the voice of the Colts, Bob Lamy.
Andrew takes the snap. Here comes the pressure. And his ball is batted out of his hands and picked up by the Rams. And running with it is Chris Long. He may score. He does on a fumble. 45-yard return. And the Rams take an early 6-0 lead. Dropping, Clemens looks to throw. He's going to be hit and goes down. Robert Mathis gets his first today. 12.5, that's 53 different quarterbacks he's tackled in his career. Drops to throw, sets up. Here comes Mathis again. He got him again. And the ball is loose, but I think the Rams got it back. The sack by Robert Mathis again, his second of the day. 14-0 St. Louis, 10:48 to go in the half. The snap is to Pat. He gets away again, a good high towering punt. Austin says stay away from it. It's going to bounce and picked up by Austin. He's going to run it back. He did not give the fair catch signal, and he might score. He's all the way down the sideline. He has only one man to beat. McAfee will never get there. Touchdown, a 99-yard punt return. Kellen Clemens will keep two blockers back. He takes the snap, and he's going to launch one deep downfield, and there's Tavon Austin. He's got it, and he scores, and it's 28-0. Pressure coming. He gets away, throws it to a wide open Tavon Austin. He's the 40. He's got one man. He's gone. 50. He's gone. Nobody catches him. 35-0. 81 on the pass play. And Andrew throws it deep downfield. T.Y.'s there. 50. 45. Cuts back in. He's going to score, I think. 30. 20. Falls down and tumbles at the 15-yard line. Throws it over the middle. Caught by Donald Brown. Donald gets it into the end zone. Touchdown, Donald Brown. The shutout is gone. And the Rams' lead is down to 35-6. Matt's going to take the knee, and that'll end it. St. Louis 38, the Colts 8.
And that's the way it went yesterday down at Lucas Oil Stadium. Not the prettiest game ever played, obviously. And the Colts, the biggest thing to remember today is they're still in first place. They still have a 2-game lead, and they've got a huge game coming up on Thursday night in Tennessee. A Colts win, and it almost salts away the AFC South title. But Tennessee has something to play for as well. They're a good football team. They lost one at home they didn't expect to yesterday to Jacksonville, 29-27. That kept the 2-game lead for the Colts. It's a game that the players will tell you the faster you can get it out of your mouth, the taste of losing, the better off you are. And this is a case where a Thursday night game sometimes isn't a good thing. This time it might be, because the Colts want to get back on the field. They want to play and prove that that was a farce on Sunday. It just wasn't Colts football again. This time, however, it lasted virtually the entire football game. There were bright spots. Robert Mathis had a couple of sacks. He leads the league, and he's getting close to the record we thought that would never be beaten by Dwight Freeney, who had 16 in the season. Robert has 13.5. And the other things, you got another great game out of T.Y. Hilton. 7 catches for 130 yards. So for him in the last 2 weeks, he's had 14 catches for 250 yards and 3 touchdowns. Not bad. And by the way, he's already scored 13 touchdowns in his career, 12 touchdowns in his career. The most any receiver has scored in his first 2 years, rookie and next year, is 15. And before we come back with the next part of the show, think about it. Who do you think holds the record? And I'll tell you, before the show starts tonight, Subway would like to give away prize packages to the first 5 callers to the show tonight. Call the Verizon hotline. Do it today, 317-639-COLT. And during the second half hour of the show, we'll be visiting with Game Day Radio analyst Jim Sorgi on the Verizon hotline. Verizon is a proud sponsor of the Colts. We'll share Jim's thoughts with you on the Colts game yesterday with the Rams. Chuck Pagano takes your social media questions tonight, and we'll do that with Jim Sorgi, because, as I'll explain when we come back, Chuck's not with us tonight. He's actually at practice. So we'll be back and talk a little bit more and set up tonight with Chuck in just a moment. You're listening to the Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan and 97.1 Hank FM.
Welcome back to Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group. Proud to be the Colts conservation partner. Find winning conservation tips at citizensenergygroup.com. Colts football is also brought to you by Papa John's. When the Colts win, you win. Get 50% off your regular menu price online order the day after the Colts win. Log on to papajohns.com and enter promo code COLTS50. And be sure to manage your energy bills by taking advantage of cash rebates on high-efficiency appliances from Veterans Conservation Connection. Learn more about the rebates available at Vectren.com. Vectren, live smart.
Welcome back to Colts Monday Night with head coach Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group. Now, here's Bob Lamy from the Taco Bell studio.
Oh, yeah, you learn from your mistakes. Yeah, you got to. I think that's sports, that's athletics. We realize, you know, we can't survive our mistakes, you know, forever. The slow start. You know, there was no jumping back into it this time, and we realized we can't do that every time. So we'll learn from our mistakes and move on.
All right, Chuck, I keep looking to my right, and Chuck's not here, and the reason is obvious. He's at practice. This is the short week, so the practice schedule changes, the meeting schedule changes, simply because you try to get 5 days of work done in 2.5 days. Doesn't sound like it's possible, but every team in the National Football League is called on to do it. And right now he's out at practice with the team getting ready for Tennessee in a very short week. We did have a chance this afternoon, though, Matt Taylor did, to hear from Coach Pagano when he addressed the media at the press conference. Now, several of the topics that fans want to hear about were addressed by Chuck this afternoon. And we'll start by updating probably the most important thing, and that's the injury situation. It didn't seem like we had a lot of injuries yesterday, but, and Chuck talked about it.
Injury update-wise, Mike McGlynn got his scan back. He has a fracture in the thumb. It'll require they'll cast it up, and he'll be day-to-day. Howell, Gordy, Toller, they're all getting better, trending in the right direction. No timetable as of today for their return.
Back to that Mike McGlynn situation. He came out of the game on Sunday, and Jeff Linkenbach went in for him. And I had a chance to chat with Mike, and he said he's fine. His thumb is swollen. You just heard Chuck say it's fractured, so cast him up. And the one interesting thing there is he's the backup center in case Samson Satelli gets hurt again, and Samson's not 100% right now. That probably precludes Mike from being a center, although knowing Mike, he'd figure some way out. But it's kind of interesting. You've got the three guys in the middle. Samson is not 100%. Hugh Thornton was limited to one day of practice last week, and now Mike's hurt. So whether there are changes or not, injuries are going to play a part in this, and we'll just see what happens. Obviously, we all had our own takes looking at yesterday, and none of them are pleasant. But Chuck talked about, after having to look at it again, what he thought after looking at the film.
Didn't see anything really different. We didn't do much of anything to give ourselves a chance in any of the phases. Certainly not in the beginning and middle or the end to give us a chance to play, you know, compete and win that football game. We have a short week. Certainly we're not going to bury our head in the sand on this past ball game. We'll address the issues like we always address them. We know there's things that need to be fixed, and we'll go to work on fixing those things. Again, we have a short week. We don't have much time in front of us. We have another ball game coming up, and so we got a lot to accomplish in the next couple days. But as you know, this team is very, very resilient. They're obviously not pleased at all. None of us are pleased at all with how we performed, and so we got to go to work. Stick to the process. Obviously better than we played yesterday. Otherwise, we won't give ourselves any opportunity, any chance to go down there and win a football game.
All right, it's time to check, as we always do this week, the McDonald's inbox, presented by the McDonald's Big Mac, the official burger of the Colts. If it's the McDonald's inbox where fans can tweet the show and ask Coach Pagano a question, you can tweet your questions to @PaganoShow right now and for future shows. Michael from Fishers asked the coach, what about the slow start?
little bit of everything. You know, you got to come out and play with energy. You know, you got to do that for 60 minutes. I think the defense, your opponent always plays a hand in it. Offense, defense, and special teams, you know, you've got to match their intensity, what they're doing. So they play a hand in it. Certainly we've shot ourselves in the foot plenty enough to not give ourselves a chance. It looks, you know, lethargic, looks like a slow start, but we talk all the time, you don't win games in the National Football League, you lose them. We're doing everything possible to put ourselves in these holes that we found out last night that, you know, we put ourselves in one that we couldn't, you know, find the magic to get out of. We talked about it, you know, it doesn't catch up with you until it catches up with you. And so I think there'll be a great lesson, you know, obviously learned in last night's ball game. So we got to find a way to start fast. And to start fast, I mean, if we come out and we play our game like we've done in the past, we've beat some really good football teams. And we've lost some football games that where we've been out-executed and whatnot and done things to hurt ourselves. So I think from an execution standpoint, from start to finish is the key.
Also on Twitter, Matt Konofsky wanted to know, do we need to make adjustments on the offensive line so the running game can be more effective?
We'll continue to look at, you know, every area of our football team and address, you know, things that need to be addressed. Again, not only the offensive line, the wide receivers, back end, D-line, whatever it is. You know, we're going to do whatever's best for this football team, whatever gives us the best chance to win a football game.
And again, Chuck's not here. He's at practice. Practice started about 5:30 this afternoon, and they're still going. So it's one of those things where there's an empty chair. So these are questions that came up during the press conference this afternoon. And Chuck was asked if changes are needed on the offensive line.
Well, I know we got to block better. You know, we got to run better. We got to block better. We got to be on the same page. We got to execute. And then we certainly can't fall behind by 21 points because it makes it hard to stick to the running game. But we've got to be able to run the football. We got to get back to doing exactly that. Somehow, some way, we have to be able to run the football.
All right. Nick Briz, also on Twitter, wanted to know if Trent Richardson is getting frustrated with his play like some of the fans are.
He stayed pretty steady. He stayed pretty steady, pretty even keel guy. Again, it'd be, I'm sure there is, you know, a little bit of frustration there, and it's, you know, partly because, you know, it isn't he wants to rush for 100-plus yards more than anybody else, you know, and it's not because of this, that, or the other. He's going to take it upon himself to do what he has to do, and certainly we have to put him in position to do that. And again, it's on all of us. It's on all of us to get that ship righted and get the run game going again.
Yesterday, the Colts threw a season-high 52 passes. They did complete 31 of them. Andrew threw 47. He was 29 complete for 353 yards. But Jeff Given wants to know if Andrew is being asked now to do too much for the offense when the running game is not working.
It makes it difficult because you become one-dimensional. People take that away from you, and you got to drop back and throw it every time. Then they're teeing off, you know, and they're not honoring the run game. And then when you fall behind, you dig yourself a hole and you fall behind, you know, again, they're pinning their ears back. They're getting in track stances and, you know, whether they're bringing 4, 5, and 6, they're coming after you and playing tight coverage in the back end, and it makes it really hard. So our inability to run the football of late, it hurts your football team. You know, your time of possession, your 3-and-out, field position, the defense is having to play more. It affects so many different things. You know, our ability to run the football and stop the run is paramount, and we gotta get back to doing that.
Go down to Greenwood, and Steve wants to know, what do we need to improve on most before Thursday night in a very short week?
You know, we always talk about, you know, we win as a team and we lose as a team. And that whole unit back there, the secondary linebackers, and it's all tied together. And 11 guys got to be singing out of the same hymnal, you know, down after down. We say a lot of times, if you're all wrong, you're all right. So even if we're all playing the wrong coverage, we're all on the same page, we'll still be okay. And so collectively, we've got to find ways to get back to playing the way that we played earlier in the season, you know, as a unit, individually. You got to trust your technique, trust your fundamentals. You got to play with great discipline back there. We know how hard that job is. We'll go back to work and try to get ourselves back to the level of play where we were at.
Obviously, without Reggie Wayne, it's changed the offense quite a bit, if you will. And DJ from Indianapolis wants to know from Coach Pagano if he thinks the receivers are still adjusting to life without Reggie.
You know, anytime, again, we always talk about, you know, like you said, next man up, and, you know, losing a guy like Reggie is, you know, you can't replace, you know, a guy like that, you know, not only his leadership, you know, qualities, but his production, obviously, on the field. And so guys have been pressed into action, and they got to respond. We're seeing glimpses of, you know, what those guys can do, but they got to step up even further. They got to raise their level of play, and their preparation has to be outstanding, and they got to spend more time than they've ever spent. You know, this, again, a short week, it isn't like we can go out there in full pads and just start grinding, you know, run these guys. We're just coming off a ball game. It's going to be a ton of mental stuff, walkthrough type of stuff, but they got to put in extra time in order to raise that level and pick up their game.
All right, it's time for Pagano's Playbook, brought to you by Citizens Energy Group. It's never easy on a short week. Everybody knows that. Every team in the National Football League has to go through that. Now, several years ago, everybody now has a Thursday night game. So at some point, you have to do this. Chuck was asked, how does he prepare for such a big game on such short notice?
It's tough. Obviously, guys, you know, came in right after the ball game. Yesterday and started working. Obviously, guys break down things. You always get ahead the week before. You know, we've got quality control coaches that break down things, and so there's information already in the system and cut-ups and things like that. So guys were in here right after the ball game working on this. And again, you know, it is what it is. So you deal with the time that you have, the circumstances that are in front of you, and you move forward.
You know, that, by the way, was Pagano's Playbook, presented by Citizens Energy Group. Make conservation tips a part of your playbook. Visit citizensenergygroup.com for helpful tips. Frustration, yeah, there's a lot of that in the locker room today. Guys are pretty upset about what happened on Sunday. Haven't heard about any incidents like tennis or like St. Louis last week when William Hayes put his forearm through a mirror in the locker room. But that was a frustrated bunch of St. Louis Rams in here yesterday. If the Colts can match that kind of intensity with execution, they'll be okay on Thursday night. Thursday night is big because if the Colts beat Tennessee down there, number one, you get I don't think confidence is gone anyway, but you get back on the right trail. Plus, you take a three-game lead over Tennessee with six to play. If the Titans win, it's down to a one-game lead and there's six games to play, and Tennessee comes back here 2 weeks from now. So it's a big ball game. It's a big game for both teams. Both teams lost games on Sunday they did not expect to lose. Both of them are angry. Both of them are banged up. Jake Locker, the starting quarterback for Tennessee, is apparently out for the year. He apparently has the Lisfranc injury that hit a couple of players, Justin Hickman in training camp, and Dwight Freeney a couple of years ago, and Dwight missed half a season. Most of the folks in Tennessee right now do not expect Jake Locker to play the rest of the year. So Ryan Fitzpatrick, they picked him up in the offseason. He's their Hasselback, rather, and he's going to start the game. He started a lot of games in the National Football League. He's a good quarterback, and the Colts will have to prepare for just that, a very good quarterback. Locker won't be there, but Ryan Fitzpatrick will. All right, you're listening to the Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group. We'll be back on FM 107.5, 1070 The Fan, and 97.1 Hank FM.
We're back on Colts Monday Night, presented by Citizens Energy Group. Citizens Energy Group is proud to be the Colts conservation partner. For conservation tips, go to citizensenergygroup.com. Citizens Energy Group, we're all citizens. And are you the AAA fan of the game? For info on how you can become the fan of the game, go to AAA.com/football or visit one of our 16 Central Indiana locations. And Colts fans, be sure to visit the Bud Light tailgate tent across the street just north of the stadium for pregame fun and $3 Bud Lights. Make the Bud Light tent your place before the game.
We now return to Citizens Energy Group's presentation of Colts Monday Night with head coach Chuck Pagano. From the Taco Bell studio, here again is Bob Lamey.
Nah, it most definitely won't shake our confidence, y'all. We not built like that in this locker room. Like I said, much credit to St. Louis, but we have to bounce back. You know, it's the NFL. We have seven games left, and what we're trying to do is get to the playoffs. So this next game is our most important game because it is the next game. It's a divisional game, short week, so we will bounce back.
Welcome back to the Colts Monday Night Show with Coach Chuck Pagano. It's time right now for our Spotlight Players, brought to you by Lightbound. For all your cloud service needs, call Lightbound. And two guys who have a finger and on the pulse of this team, Andrew Luck and Matt Hasselbeck, the two quarterbacks, along with Chandler Harnish. Our leading question, as we talked with Andrew a few minutes ago, most cases having Thursday game is a problem because it's a short week, but could it be a good thing this week because of what happened on Sunday?
Yeah, no, we're excited to get back on the field. We know we need to, you know, atone for our sins, if you will. So, you know, short weeks are tough, but it's no excuse to not go out and play well. You know, every team really has to do it now, it seems like, in the NFL. But, yeah, I think it'll be good to get on that back on that field sooner rather than later.
Does it also help that you've got Tennessee, a team you know pretty well?
Yeah, we know fairly well, but they're a tough team. You know, I think, you know, anytime you play any team on a short week, it presents a challenge. And, you know, I know defensively Tennessee's tough, physical, you know, does a great job. So we'll have our hands full, but it'll be fun being a division game as well.
This team is so close in the locker room. Nobody throws anybody under the bus. When you guys came in today, obviously you didn't want that to lose, but it seemed like it was forget that, let's go to Tennessee.
No, absolutely. You know, I think we still want to learn from our mistakes. You know, we did a good job this morning. I think watching the film, making sure we don't you know, continue to make the mistakes that got us in that hole, you know, this past game. But yeah, guys are ready to move on. Realize we can't do anything about the game now, but go out and practice and prepare. So we're excited to get on that field and get better.
People continue to ask, what's life like without Reggie Wayne? Well, he's on the sideline. Yeah. He's helping, but he's not out there.
No, absolutely. He still is a huge part of the offense, the leadership role he fills, the knowledge he brings to the wideout room, you know, that calming influence. So yeah, you know, it's obviously not ideal without him out there, but that's not going to change this year. So, you know, we're going to make do, and I think, you know, we'll continue to get better.
We got to blame your dad for something. Tavon Austin, shouldn't he have been sent somewhere? That kid is pretty good.
He had a good game. It was not so fun to watch, though.
No, it wasn't. Your game, T.Y., somebody had to step up. He stepped up so huge.
No, he's been doing a great job. He's a phenomenal football player and even better teammate, better person. So it's been a pleasure to play with him for the past year and a half or so. And I think he'll continue to just improve and wow people.
Trent Richardson, we keep waiting. One of these days it's going to be a breakout situation for him, which obviously would help you.
No, absolutely. He's working his butt off, you know. He's doing a great job. I think he's doing so many little things well that people don't realize, you know, how much of a team, you know, how much of a team player he is and how important he is to this offense. But, yeah, it'll break one day and people will say, wow, look at that. But we know it's been going on the whole time so far.
How tough is it to learn a whole offense? You've got to know where every player on a field is. You've been doing it for a long time, but it doesn't mean it gets easier.
No, it's tough, and you know, it's every day too. Hopefully, you learn something every day. You definitely don't get it down pat in a matter of, you know, in a week. You know, that's a complete fallacy. You know, but we understand the more you know, the more knowledgeable, you know, we are. I think that, you know, the more prepared we'll be for a game, and that can be to our advantage.
People say, well, Tuesday normally is a day off. I think I've seen you in the building every Tuesday this year. Do you ever take any time and get away?
I think you have to take a little time and get away and recharge your brain. But, you know, Tuesdays are also important preparation days, you know, for in my mind, I think, as quarterbacks. And, you know, Hasselbeck, Harnish, and I will get together and make sure we know what's coming the next Wednesday. But, you know, I do think there are times and places to get away from the game and let your mind rest. And because it can be emotional, it can take a toll on you. And I think, you know, rest is as important as preparation in a sense.
You mentioned Matt Hasselbeck. He's been around, seen everything. How much of a help is he, even on the sideline?
He's great. He's a great mentor for Chandler Harnish and I. He's always quick to share, you know, knowledge and thoughts in a very unobtrusive way. You know, I think he's got a great way with all the teammates. He fits in the locker room so well. You know, I think, you know, 30 years from now, I'll be able to look back and really have fond memories of playing with a true professional and a true teammate in the whole sense of the word, like Matt Hasselbeck.
You're heading to practice right now. How important are these practices every week?
No, they're huge. You know, Coach Pagano preaches you play like you practice. Things happen on Sunday because you do them in practice, good and bad. So we know we've got to go out there, and the first step, were these meetings, to hopefully beat in Tennessee, and the practice is this next step, making sure we go out there and do the things we want to do in the game.
Andrew's right. The practice, which by the way is still continuing out on the in the pavilion today as the Colts get ready for the Titans. When we talked with him, it dawned on me that the best guy in the locker room to talk to about the Titans is a guy who played with him for a while, and that's Matt Hasselbeck. But I started the conversation with what's to him the most important thing about playing on a short week after a tough loss.
Well, it makes you feel better. There's not 48 hours till you come into your next practice. We come in today. Today's a Monday, Tuesday, and a Wednesday, all combined into one. And we'll be just, I think, so focused on the next opponent that it'll be easier to let this last one go.
You know Tennessee pretty darn well. What's going through their mind? They lost a game they felt like they shouldn't have lost yesterday.
Yeah, they're in a similar situation. Probably a little embarrassed to lose a game at home like they did, like we did. And in our situation here, we know that despite what happened last week, we're going to go in there. It's a Thursday night football. They don't get many national televised games. They're at home. Their crowd will be into it. They'll be into it. Their backs are up against the wall. Their season's up against the wall. And so we know it's going to be just as tough a game as any game we have this season. We'll have to be ready to go in a short week.
When you look at that defense, you've practiced against it a lot. What jumps out about you, how good they are?
Well, I think what you've seen this year is they've created a lot of turnovers, and that's been the difference between their season, the start of their season this year, and then in the games they've won and the games that they haven't won. They really have created turnovers, particularly in the secondary. So I don't know if it's a case of educated guessing. I mean, these are the things that we have to find out this week in our film study. How are they able to come up with those turnovers? Is it strip fumbles? Is it interceptions? Is it tip balls? Is it them jumping around? What is it? And see what we need to do to take advantage of that or adjust our game plan accordingly.
Jake, it looks like, I know you hate to see anybody get hurt, and it looks like he's done for the year. What do you know about Ryan Fitzpatrick?
It's too bad for Jake. It's one thing after another with his injuries, and I hope he gets better soon. But Ryan Fitzpatrick is a very, very smart player, surprisingly athletic, and he kind of gets on streaks, where he gets hot. And if he gets hot, look out, he's real dangerous. Our job is going to, I think just prepare this week. Our scout team, we'll be dialed into giving our defense the look that they need to get. And I think, like all weeks, just, catch the opportunities that they give you, like catch the ones they do throw to you, catch those tips and overthrows that you have a chance to get your hands on. And, like Coach Pagano says all the time, if you just catch the ones they throw to you, you'll lead the league in interceptions.
Save the best for last, Chris Johnson. He's a monster. I don't know how he does it, but he gets his 1,000 every year and close to two.
Well, I mean, he's kind of like a track guy. He doesn't break a lot of tackles, but if you do give him an open hole, he's got the big play ability to take it to the house. And so, if we just, I think, just stay run gap discipline and stay in our lanes in position to make a tackle, he's not the kind of guy that's going to break a lot of tackles. They do have another guy that does that, but I think everyone has confidence in our defense and the job that we can do.
Our radio analyst Jim Sorgi is up next. We'll talk about yesterday's game and look ahead to the Tennessee Titans. You're listening to the Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5, 1070 The Fan, and 97.1 Hank FM.
This is Colts Monday Night on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan, brought to you by Meijer, the official supercenter of the Colts, and they'll be hosting special Blue Friday events throughout the season. During every Blue Friday, 24 lucky fans will each win two tickets to the upcoming Colts home game. For more information, visit Colts.com/Blue Friday. And also visit Colts.com to view the most recent features of instant access immediately after every game presented by Exact Target. Exact Target, a Salesforce.com company creating the platform of choice for CMOs.
This is Colts Monday Night with head coach Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group. Once again, from the Taco Bell studio, here's Bob Lamy, the voice of the Colts.
One, we didn't come out with no spark. It's like we're sitting as a defense waiting for somebody to do something. We can't wait. with a good team like the Rams, teams like that will keep you down and make sure you stay down there. Today they showed it, and the coaches put us in great position to make plays, to do everything we wanted to, but as players, we didn't execute. So you can't put that on the coach. You have to put that on us. We'll take the blame for it because we didn't execute on each part, on each phase, I mean.
Ricky Jean-Francois, and that echoes what the Colts locker room is like. Nobody throws anybody under the bus. It was a bad day. We all know about it. We've talked about it. Let's go to the drive of the game featured by Dreyer and Reinbold. Donald Brown's 13-yard catch. The score at the time was 38-0, but it was a score that prevented a shutout.
Luck gets good protection, throws it over the middle, caught by Donald Brown. Donald gets it into the end zone. Touchdown, Donald Brown. The shutout is gone, and the Rams lead is down to 35-6.
That touchdown, by the way, was Donald Brown's first receiving touchdown in the National Football League. And it was a big play. It got the Colts on the scoreboard. But it was just part of what was a frustrating afternoon for all of us, including the fans who paid their way in. We're joined now on the Verizon Hotline by Jim Sorgi. And Jim, everybody takes it out in a different way. I beat up the computer last night, and you're going hunting today, but was a really tough, frustrating day because nothing went right almost from the opening play.
Yeah, and I like what Ricky Jean-Francois said. I mean, and it's completely honest with you. Most of the time, we have a guy that makes a play, a guy that makes a play that turns everything around, or a guy that makes a bunch of plays, and it just seemed like yesterday we were waiting for that one guy to make that play, and it never happened, it never came. And, you know, thinking about that game, I was going through it in my mind, and I was talking it over with a friend of mine, and I was saying, you know, one play in that game really turned everything around, and nothing really went right after. I mean, we get the ball to start the game, and we drive, we got it in their territory, and the sack fumble happens, and then a long return for a touchdown. And really, after that point, it was like, you know, a switch came on, and nothing really went well for us. I mean, the defense played well at times in the first half and in the second half. The offense, you know, sputtered and played okay in the second half, getting into the red zone, but then turning it over. But it's just nothing was easy. Everything was hard. Everything you see, it was hard to get a couple yards on a run play. It was hard to, you know, throw the ball down the field. And you finally realized when we play those teams that have really good pass rushes, and you can't put it all on the offensive line. I mean, Andrew was taking deep drops. He was waiting for receivers to get open down the field. And you finally saw when we started hitting checkdowns, when we started hitting the short to intermediate routes and letting them run after the catch, we started to move the football. It's just, you know, one of those things where now we know we need to probably hurry up the offense a little bit and hit a few more checkdowns. Because when you do that, the defensive line and front seven realize they can't get to the quarterback, so they start relaxing a little bit, and then you take your shots downfield. It's all a learning process, and if we can learn from that game yesterday, we'll be just fine going down the road. And the good thing is we don't have to wait long to play our next opponent. We got them in a couple days.
It's not one of the burning questions, but that was one I was going to ask you. When talking to the players in the locker room today, they're all anxious to get back on the field on Thursday night. Is it that easy? It's a short week. You get banged up on a Sunday. You've got to come back, get healthy, and then get ready to play. It's not quite as easy as it sounds like.
It's not. That was a physical ball game we played yesterday. That was a physical team in the Rams, and we're going up against another physical team in Tennessee. We need to heal some bumps and bruises. We need to get healthy and go out there and give it our best shot. But there's a little bit more motivation to play with a bump and bruise and things like that after a loss like we had against the Rams rather than a narrow win. I mean, if we would have narrowly won that game going playing 4 days later, it's like, oh, man, dude, this is going to be tough. But you lose, like, you get your butt handed to you 38-8. It's a little easier getting up for that game 4 days away.
Popular phrase is a wake-up call. A, is there such a thing as a wake-up call? And B, is that kind of what the Colts needed yesterday?
Yes, yes, and yes. There is such thing as a wake-up call. Some teams start relaxing a little bit. And, you know, I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers said it best a couple years ago. They were winning, which kind of overshadowed some of the things that were going wrong on the field. And that's kind of what was happening to the Colts a little bit so far this year. We were winning ball games, but we weren't playing great football. We'd show, you know, signs of it here and there, maybe a half here, maybe a half there. in the last couple of weeks, we really didn't have that. I mean, it was consistently not very good football. So I think a wake-up call saying, hey, we're not where we need to be. We can get better. And if we can lose to a team that's 3-6 at home that we probably should have beat, then we can lose to anybody. So we need to get back to work and get better. And I'm glad it happened now when we're 6-2 and Tennessee lost, so we keep our two-game lead in the division rather than at a more crucial time where it would have hurt us more.
All right, and this is everywhere I've gone this morning and last night to dinner and everything else. Should we be concerned about the protection for Andrew Luck? He's getting hit a lot and doesn't have much time to throw the ball.
Yeah, yes and no. Yes and no. Mike McGlinn getting hurt. His availability will be something that you want to keep an eye on. But we've played some really good defensive line in front sevens the last couple weeks. I mean, you got to remember when we played the San Francisco 49ers, our offensive line did a great job. Did an absolutely fantastic job against a bunch of Pro Bowlers from the San Francisco 49ers. They did a good job for the most part against the Seattle Seahawks. We struggled a little bit with Houston. We struggled a little bit with the St. Louis Rams. And maybe it was a little bit, trying to go downfield a little bit too much, like I said earlier, with the pass plays. Probably, you know, getting the ball out of hands. See, we used to do, when we were facing a team that we knew had a superior pass rush, we would try to get the ball out of the hands so quickly the first two or three drives, because then they give up trying to get there. They give up trying to get to the quarterback because they feel like it's going to be that way the whole game. And then you hit them with a play action or a play down the field, and you get a big play. And it seemed like we didn't really figure that out yesterday till late in the second half when we started to hit the check down and stuff like that. And then they realized they couldn't get there, and he stopped getting hit so much in the second half. So, I don't think it's a huge issue to be worried about the offensive line. They played against some great defenses, and they just haven't played very good the last couple of weeks against two very good defenses. So I wouldn't worry too much about it. They'll get it together, and it's a combination of things. It's not just them.
Okay, a name we mentioned way too often yesterday, Tavon Austin. I had heard a great deal about him. His numbers, when you look at it on the stat sheet before the game, were not real impressive, but he had one of those days, 314 yards, all-purpose yards, a couple of huge plays, the punt return, the long catch for a touchdown. Was that an anomaly, or are more receivers poised to have days like that?
I think that was an anomaly. He's a good player now. I mean, we've kept under wraps some pretty good wide receivers. I mean, we played the Denver Broncos, and they got three of them, and they all didn't seem to do very much against us. And, Andre Johnson had a big game last week, and Tavon Austin had a big game this week. And it's just one of those things. And those are good players. I mean, Tavon Austin was drafted in the first round for a reason. He had a great career at West Virginia, and then he has speed, he has talent. He's just trying to figure out what it's like to be an NFL player. So he's figuring it out, and against the man-to-man coverage, he likes to run those overs. He likes to, double move and go deep. And, they just hit him. They completed it yesterday. I still have complete faith in our defensive backs, and especially in the back end. I think they played a heck of a job this season. I mean, we'll start to get some guys back. Greg Toler will be back soon. Delano Howell, Josh Gordy. I mean, those guys will be back soon, and we'll be at full strength. And, then let's see, a team kind of do what the last 2 weeks they've done to us. But you got to give Tavon Austin credit. They did a good job of game planning, ways to get him the ball. They put him in a situation to succeed. And once he gets that ball in his hands in open field, you can almost forget about it because he's so fast and so quick laterally that he's almost impossible to stop.
Off-season deal, a 40-yard dash between Tavon Austin and T.Y. Hilton. That would be interesting because both of them can fly. Jim will be back, and we'll be talking social media questions with the radio analyst in just a moment. You're listening to Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5, 1070 The Fan, and 97.1 Hank FM.
This is Colts Monday Night on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan. Colts fans, be sure to visit the Bud Light Party Zone at Lucas Oil Stadium. The Bud Light Party Zone is above the north end zone in front of the windows that open to the Indianapolis skyline. Bud Light, the official beer of the NFL. And every morning, Wish TV's Daybreak is a better way to start your day. Delivering overnight news, weather and traffic with the latest updates you need to prepare yourself for your day. Weekday mornings on Wish TV.
Citizens Energy Group proudly presents Colts Monday Night with head coach Chuck Pagano. Let's continue the horseshoe conversation with Bob Lamey from the Taco Bell studio.
All right, welcome back to the show. It's time for the Sunday Top 2. If you have a bad stomach, turn the radio off for a couple of minutes. If you don't and you want to hear it again, we were talking about Tavon Austin. He was the difference in the game yesterday, Jim, and we'll talk about a couple of plays. First one was one that I think he fooled our special teams group. He never did call for a fair catch, but everything looked like it, and then all of a sudden, instead of having the ball at the two, they score.
The snap is to Pat. He gets away again, a good high towering punt. Austin says, stay away from it. It's going to bounce and picked up by Austin. He's going to run it back. He did not give the fair catch signal. He might score. He's all the way down the sideline. He has only one man to beat. McAfee will never get there. Touchdown, a 99-yard punt return.
In fact, it was 98, but who cares about a yard at this point? But it just seemed like, Jim, that was one of those things where we kind of took a lull there, and you never can in the league. I remember a game in New Orleans years ago. I think it was the Rams. The ball was kicked off, and the Ram kick returner never touched the ball, didn't say anything. Everybody just kind of ran past him. He picked the ball up and went 103 yards. You just can't take a playoff.
Yeah, and that was unfortunate. I mean, I remember how you were calling it. I remember you saying he's telling everybody to get away, and the ball takes a bounce. I'm getting ready for you to say, and then it goes into the end zone because that's what I expected. You know, it looked like that's what's going to happen. The ball was going to go to the end zone. They get it at the 20-yard line. All of a sudden, he kind of followed it as he was, signaling get away from it, and the ball bounced right to him, and he just took off. And you're right. You could see all of our guys, when they saw him kind of waving his hands to get away, all kind of slowed down and relaxed a little bit. And once he picked it up, then they started blocking and knocking our guys down, and he started making moves, ducking in and out. And then once it got to between him and Patty, I know Pat's a great tackler for being a punter, and he's even a good tackler for not being a punter, but I mean, once you get that speed, it was over from then on out.
Well, and there were four blockers down there. Pat never had a chance on that one.
Yeah.
And that was one of those things. The next one, again, showed the blazing speed of Tavon Austin. This one was an 81-yard touchdown catch.
Clemens out of the gun. Third down and 9. He's got it back in to protect. Now he brings Tavon Austin back in a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage. Takes the snap. Pressure coming. He gets away. Throws it to a wide open Tavon Austin. He's the 40. He's got one man. He's gone. 50. He's gone. Nobody catches. 35 to nothing. 81 on the pass play.
And again, Robert Mathis got within inches of his third sack of the day on that play. And that's just the way the day went yesterday. We got close on a number of plays, and just nothing seemed to go right. But again, that young man, Tavon Austin, whenever he gets a step on anybody, just forget it. There may not. T.Y.'s close, but there might not be a faster guy in the country. Maybe we can get him in the Olympics, get him out of the NFL, especially if we get the Rams on the schedule. He's something else. Those 314 yards, when you look at it, you just go, wow.
Yeah, he completely dominated that game. And that play particularly hurt because it was right after halftime. We were already down 28-0. And it kind of put the dagger in just a little farther, and they twisted it on us. I mean, it looked like Robert had him. It looked like he was coming up the middle and kind of going to get Kellen Clemens. And then, Kellen kind of sidesteps it out to the right side of the field. And then Tavon came from across the formation on an over route. And it looked like, one of our guys kind of got picked in the process of him coming in motion and running that over. And I think it was Vontae. And he went, once he caught it and turned the corner, and really it was him and Antoine. And Antoine tried to take the best angle he could. But, either take an angle, he cuts it back, and then like he did and takes it for a touchdown, or he outruns it down the sideline for a touchdown. It was just one of those, things that was going to be a touchdown either way. And it was just a well-designed play call. Again, credit their coaches and their players for putting a great game plan together and executing it.
Execution being the key word. It's time to check the McDonald's inbox, presented by McDonald's Big Mac, the official burger of the Colts. Let's just go back to Harold from Yorktown's question. How do you prevent Tavon Austin punt return from happening again? And, there are a couple of ways to do that, but it sounds simple, but not always that easy.
I mean, you know, that's a rough question to answer. I mean, you know, we've been so good on our coverage units this year. I mean, how many times have we planted them inside the 10? Pat's done a great job. Sergio Brown's done a great job. I mean, we've gotten turnovers with our punt coverage unit. So, I mean, this just seemed like the one anomaly play where, you know, they see him waving his hands and they relax a little bit instead of, you know, thinking they're either going to down it or the ball is going to go into the end zone. So, you know, I still have faith in our coverage units. I think they've done a great job all year. I'm going to chalk that one up to a learning experience. You know, now we know, you know, play the play to the whistle. Even if, you know, they're not, you know, catching the ball, we're still, you know, busting our butt to get down there and do our job. And, you know, I'm sure we'll learn from it. And I'm almost positive it'll never happen again.
Michael from Fishers wants to know, should we start the game on offense in a hurry-up mode to ensure a faster start?
I like mixing it up. I like when we go no huddle. I like when we huddle. You know, I think the no huddle gives you some options. Obviously, I'm a no huddle fan. It's pretty much all I played in when I was in the NFL, and I like what it does to the defense. It kind of softens them up. You kind of, you know what they're going to do. They can't really do a whole lot because they can't get the call in before you're up there running the play. They can't substitute, so you can kind of wear them down a little bit. But I think we're going to do a good job of mixing it up. I think it's kind of been a tempo changer thing for us. I wouldn't mind if we, you know, come out and started games with it. Maybe, you know, we've seemed to run it really well and do a good job in the situations we've been in and get some points. So maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea to start off and maybe get a quick score at the beginning of a game or something like that. But I think we do utilize it well the way we do with when we use it. But, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing them use it at the beginning of the game or more often.
All right, that's Jim Sorgi. We've had him on the Verizon hotline. A reminder that the Memphis Grizzlies and the Pacers are up next. Indiana Pacers going for their 8th straight win. You don't want to miss that. That's it for Colts Monday Night with Chuck Pagano and Jim Sorgi, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5, 1070 The Fan, and 97.1 Hank FM. Big game on Thursday. Huge game for both teams. Let's hope the Colts bounce back and get Tennessee on Thursday night. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for the Pacers right here.